Baker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Spills out to Horsley. What a goal!
For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
And we're back. The Monday Waffle is here for 2021. I hope you're excited because we are. I am your host, Julian Vicentini, and my co-host, Will DeFulvio. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited that footy's back and the waffle is back.
Yes.
And it's looking good. It's going to look like it's a great season.
Fantastic. It's good to see live footy. The AFL season kicked off a couple weeks ago. Now the waffle season starts this coming weekend. It's a lot of AFL players coming back to the waffle, and a lot of young guns have left the waffle and now joined big AFL clubs. Logan McDonald in particular. I can't wait to talk about him. And we also, Will, got Australian sports journalist, waffle expert, gun commentator, Mark Redding to join us for the waffle preview.
He knows all the ins and outs, and he's got some very interesting things to say.
Yes, he's going to give us basically his crystal ball for the 2021 waffle. Yeah. His favourite players to watch, the big rises and fallers, key players, maybe an early Sandover medal tip, his most controversial stuff that happened over the off-season, and he's going to give us his 2021 Premier's prediction. So stay tuned for that.
So if anyone is going to know who's going to be the big name for the future, it's going to be Mark Reddings.
Absolutely. So let's go through the ins and outs, Will, of all the waffle sides in case you missed it over the off-season. There's been a lot of ins and outs coming out from all the waffle sides. A lot of players coming in from the AFL, a lot of young kids leaving to the AFL, so it's quite exciting. We're going to start with West Coast, who was a side that did not play in the waffle last year. Hamish Brayshaw, Will, comes in as a confirmed West Coast Eagles waffle player. He got delisted by West Coast, the AFL side, but the waffle side has picked him up.
Yeah, it's a big name to have on the list.
Cedric Cox also comes in. He was a player from the Brisbane Lions. He played 13 games across seasons 2017 to 2020 for the Lions and then got delisted, and the West Coast waffle side has picked him up. So two AFL players confirmed for the Eagles West Coast waffle side.
Going off how they've performed in the preseason, that previous AFL experience may come in handy.
We'll quickly name off the bat for West Coast. Joey Deegan comes from North Beach Football Club. Luke Enwigs from Glenelg via the AFL draft. Lachlan Feeney from South Fremantle joins. Ethan Hansen from the Perth Football Club. Lennon Marlin from Perth Football Club. Cooper Nitschke from Claremont. Zane Drew from Swan Districts. And Isaiah Winder from Peel. So they're the Eagles' ins. Now, they've got some huge outs.
Yes. Will. Tom Hickey has gone over to Sydney Swans. He's currently rucking for him, and I think on the last weekend he had a good game, kicked a goal. That's good. Lewis Jeddah, who as a premiership player, he played in the 2018 Grand Final with the West Coast AFL side, eventually getting delisted in, I think, 2020. He now plays for Swan Districts.
Andrew Fisher joins Perth from the West Coast waffle side. Mitch O'Neill is also out. Will Schofield retired from the West Coast Eagles, and Peel Thunder has picked him up. So he's a premiership player, 194 games for West Coast. And so he's out of the Eagles side, and he'll be a key defender for Peel. Anthony Treacy is out, and Francis Watson is also an out. He was a halfback flanker for West Coast. Only played the two games in the AFL, but he's now been dropped, and he is a Claremont player.
He's put it through. That's the goal of the century. That is unbelievable.
Now, we're going to look at Peel Thunder, the reserve side, basically for Fremantle, the AFL side Fremantle. And they got a lot of ins and a couple of big outs. So we'll start with Heath Chapman, who's probably one of their biggest ins. He's obviously drafted to the Fremantle Dockers via pick 14 in the AFL. He played his first game for the Dockers yesterday, but obviously, any games that he's not named for Frio, he'll be playing for the Thunder in the waffle.
Also, Nathan O'Driscoll coming in, Brandon Walker, and Joel Weston, all from the AFL draft, which is pretty exciting to see.
Yes, and as we mentioned before, Will Schofield is their inclusion after being deselected by the West Coast Eagles waffle side, and Blair Delafranca joins from South Fremantle. Now, their biggest out probably is son of a gun at Peel Thunder, Hayden Ballantyne. I know he has a pocket named after him, or a wing. He retires. He was a 2020 leading goal kicker for Peel Thunder last year, and he now retires completely from the Waffle League. Hayden Ballantyne, obviously, Will, the little pest there at Fremantle. I remember vividly the final or the game against Steve Johnson from Geelong, where they always had those little arguments and niggles on the field, so he's a big out.
I remember the point he kicked during the derby, where he famously, I wouldn't say lost the game for his club, but he didn't win the game for Fremantle.
No, he did not.
Had a shot after the siren and he hit the post. But regardless of that, he's an excellent footballer, and I think he was the leading goal scorer for Peel last year.
Yes, and Isaiah Winder joins Peel Thunder after leaving West Coast Eagles. Jarvis Pina also joins Peel Thunder after one season on the rookie list at Fremantle too.
So East Freo, I think they finished 8th on the ladder last year. They have a lot of ins from the AFL. They've got Jonathan Marsh after 2 years with St Kilda. He played 26 games for St Kilda and Collingwood. So that's a big in for
them.
That's
a huge in.
Hugh Dixon and Dylan O'Reilly joined the Sharks from the Fremantle AFL club.
Yes, and ex-Gold Coast son Josh Schoenfield also joins East Fremantle. So a lot of AFL players, as we mentioned, Will.
Yeah, so again, that's a lot of experience and obviously high skill level.
Yes, and the last one, Luke English joins the Sharks. He was actually a VFL Premiership player at Richmond over there in Victoria, and he also adds to the East Fremantle list.
But onto the outs for East Fremantle, Alex Bray, Jack Carroll is going to Carlton.
Yes, Jack Carroll was picked with number 41 in the 2020 AFL draft, so he joins the Blues.
John Griffin is retiring. James Harold, Cameron Loesch, Brandon Walker, and Dylan Winton. All out for East Fremantle.
Big retiree, as you mentioned, Will, John Griffin coming out of the East Fremantle side. He played 97 games in total. 41 of those were at Adelaide, and he played 56 games at Fremantle before leaving the Fremantle Dockers at the end of the 2017 season. He was part of the Peel Thunder Premiership side in 2016 while being a player at the Fremantle Dockers. He was part of the Peel Thunder Premiership side in 2016 when he was part of the Fremantle Dockers and played in that Peel Thunder second tier division side.
Yeah, he was named captain of East Fremantle in 2018 as well.
There you go. So big out for East Fremantle Sharks.
So we watched East Fremantle play the West Coast Eagles as the Waffle side at Mineral Resources Park on Friday night. What did you reckon of their list and their skills on the night, Jules?
I really like the way they finished off strong in the last quarter. I know it was only a preseason game, but Eagles came back fighting in that last term. East Fremantle were always in front by that 2-3 goal mark, and I know West Coast, I think, brought it back to about 15 points in the third term, but that last quarter finish was really strong from the Sharks. They won by 40-plus points in the end, so I really like their finish, and hopefully for their sake, they finish higher than 8th on the ladder this year, Will.
Yeah, it was a dominant lead for them in that game, and if I think what they were doing especially well was they were able to maintain that lead and they were shutting down the Eagles' advances. And again, like you said, it was a practice match, but you train the way you play, really. So just a couple of ins for Swan Districts. They, of course, have last year's Sandover medal winner, Sam Fisher, still on the list. But they've also got Jesse Palmer, Chris Jones from Box Hill, and Lewis Jetta.
Yes,
is also in.
Yeah, we touched on Lewis Jetta as a big out for the West Coast side. Lewis Jetta actually was part of the 2007 Swan Districts Waffle Premiership team when he was a youngster. So how many, 14 years ago. So now he comes back to his childhood Waffle side in Swan Districts, and who knows, he's even get some premiership glory at the Swannies this year.
Jeez, if I took 14 years off football and went back, I reckon I'd lost one game, and then I'd crumble like a bag of bones. So that's impressive to see.
And now for the outs at Swan Districts, Denver Granger Barras joins the Hawthorn Football Club. He is a big out for Swan Districts, but a huge in for the Hawks and huge in just for his own growth into his footy career. He was drafted at pick 6 in the 2020 National Draft. And actually, he's the first top 10 pick for the Hawks since 2006.
Really?
So the young man has a lot riding for him.
Miller from behind. Bulldogs are there! A famous grand final.
On to Subiaco now, probably a club who's definitely looking to get back on the trot. I think they won 2018, 2019, missed out last year. But they've got a pretty big name coming in. We've got Brandon Matera from the Suns, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yes.
And that's another big footy name, Matera, especially in Western Australian football.
Yeah, exactly right. And he joins his younger brother, Bailey, at Subiaco. So Brandon Matera could have gone and joined his original club that he played for in South Fremantle, but he's joined his brother, Bailey Matera. At the Lions.
That'd be good. So you're getting the Matera brothers back together again, eh?
Yeah, I know. Like good old Philip and Peter.
Yeah. But back into it. So Brandon Matera, yeah, he's an in from Fremantle. Jack Mayo from St Kilda. And Corey Robinson from East Fremantle coming over to Subiaco this year.
Yes, Jack Mayo is coming back to Subiaco Lions. He played 1.5 years at St Kilda. Mayo was selected with the pick 8 in that 2019 mid-season draft when they introduced the mid-season rookie draft. And 1.5 years down in Victoria with the Saints, and now he returns back to the Lions. Subiaco's outs, Tyler Brockman, he's another Hawthorn draftee, so he joins Hawthorn this year after being picked up in the 2020 draft. He's an out. Thomas Edwards-Baldwin joins East Perth.
And retiring for Subiaco, Ben Newton, Reese Waters, and Kyle Horsley.
Yes, so Kyle Horsley's a huge out. He played for Subiaco Lions in 2007 to 2011, then got picked up by Gold Coast and played 14 games up in Queensland for the Suns. Came back to Subiaco Lions, finished on total of 110 games. He's pretty much a legend at that club. He was a rising star for Subiaco in 2008, won the Subiaco Best and Fairest in 2011, and won the Simpson Medal in the Grand Final of 2018. So he's a legend at the club. So he's a big out for Subiaco. East Perth finished 6th on the ladder last year in the Waffle. Not too many ins and outs, Will. Only the one in, Thomas Edwards Baldwin from Subiaco.
Yeah, makes our job easier. And Jono Freeman going to Queensland, and Pat McGinnity, former Eagles player, retiring. Dalton Langlands joins Perth, coming from St Kilda. He had about 3 games over 2 seasons for the Saints, so that should be handy. Logan McDonald, drafted to the Sydney Swans with pick 4. And he started his AFL career in absolutely fantastic fashion.
Yes, 2 years, 2 seasons, 2 games into his AFL career. Pick 4, as you mentioned, he's going to be a gun for the Sydney Swans. Ex-West Coast and Collingwood speedster Josh Smith joins Perth.
And they've also signed towering forward Cameron Lersch from the Sharks. But I think he's going to be ruled out with a hip injury.
Yeah, so he looks like he'll be out for the whole season. He struggled with that hip injury, so unfortunately, their new signing won't be playing much for 2021. The outs, Will, for Perth, finished 4th on the ladder last year, so they're big outs. Kieran Delahunty moves to Victoria. Lachlan Dennis is retired. Ethan Hansen to the West Coast Eagles Waffle side. Lennon Marlin to the West Coast Eagles Waffle side. Logan McDonald, as we mentioned, to Sydney. And Nathan O'Driscoll goes to Fremantle.
Yeah, I think he got picked up at a low 40s in Sears draft.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
West Perth, who finished 3rd, really only have one in, Chapman Jones. He used to play for Perth, Waffle team.
Yes, and West Perth's out for this season. Braden Antonio is retired. Corey Chalmers joins East Fremantle. Heath Chapman, who debuted for Fremantle yesterday. Ben King is retired. Michael Lowry is retired. Luke Meadows joins Williamston in the VFL side. And Lane Rasmussen, Will, as we mentioned, one of those boys has retired from his Waffle side in West Perth, but he's not hanging out the boots. He's going to play local league at Scarborough.
Yeah, I think a lot of them find it hard just to quit cold turkey. It was Fev, I think Brendan Favola, who retired and then went and played 11 games for his local footy club and kicked 50 goals.
Yeah, ridiculous.
In those 11 games. So they just go there and they just chop up and they just must take the sport out of it.
Yeah, don't you love just old, either it was Waffle players or AFL players going to play local footy? I know Barry Hall did it after he played a bit of local footy in Queensland and he got rubbed out for punching a few blokes on the field. Now we go to second place on the ladder, Claremont. Last year's runner-up, their ins and outs. West Coast pair Francis Watson and Anthony Tracy join Claremont. Ex-Fremantle pair Isaiah Butters and Jason Carter also joined the Tigers. They lose Alec Waterman, who's been picked up by the AFL side Essendon, yet to make his debut for Essendon.
Yep.
Ex-Saint player Tom Lee has retired. And ex-Docker Ryan Nyhouse moves to the Northern Territory. Will, I don't know if you remember, he was the guy that famously kicked 4 goals in his debut for Freo.
Really?
Yep.
This was a few years ago, right?
Yeah, a few years ago now. That was back in 2017. And then he played a bit of Waffle for the Tigers, and he's officially retired from Waffle.
Good innings.
Very good innings. The outs, Will, for Claremont.
Jai Clark going to Perth, along with Corey Hitchcock, going to the same place. Jeremy Goddard is out. Tom Lee, you just said. Cooper Nitschke is going to West Coast, the Waffle side, West Coast. Again, like you said, Nyhouse, Waterman, and also Joel Weston going to Fremantle.
He's put it through! That's the goal of the century! That is unbelievable!
South Fremantle Bulldogs, last year's 2020 Waffle Premiers. Former St Kilda player in the AFL, Matthew Parker, joins the Bulldogs. Blake Schlensog, I think I pronounced that right, Will.
Schlensog, yeah.
Schlensog joins from Geelong Cats.
You actually pronounced it right the first time.
I know.
You did it wrong the second time.
I've absolutely butchered it on the second attempt.
That's all right.
Cam McCarthy joins from the Fremantle Football Club. He was a Giants player, then went to Freo. Now he's playing his footy for the Bulldogs.
And the Premiers, they're trimming the fat, Jules. Lachlan Feeney going to West Coast. Chris Luff is retiring. Shannon Neal going to Geelong. Cade Stewart is out. And Steve Verrier is also no longer playing for South Fremantle. So they're really trying to capitalize on last season's success and hit the ground running in 2021. Well, so that pretty much wraps it up. I think there's a lot of exciting plays that we're going to see this year in 2021. And hopefully it's going to be an uninterrupted season as well. COVID won't rear its ugly head and put a stop to everything. I'm just hoping that, yeah, we can get around the Waffle a bit more, get around local footy, and just see some of these quality up-and-comers right at the start of their careers.
Yes, we have a lot of names coming in, a lot of AFL players coming in, a lot of young guns joining the AFL. Is there any particular players that you're looking forward to the most this season?
Do you know who actually would be the perfect person to ask that question to, Jules? Channel 7 broadcaster, Perth footy commentator, and encyclopedia of waffle knowledge, Mark Reddings.
Absolutely right. I think you nailed that pinpoint on the head. So we'll get Mark Reddings' his opinions on who he's looking forward to this season in the 2021 Waffle. But before we get to Mark, a new co-host joins me at the studio desk, Julian Mould. How you going, J-Mo?
Good, thanks, Julian Vincentini. And yes, it is J-Mo. Like J-Lo, only sexier, of course. If you compare the two of us, you'll see, you'll understand why that this is the case.
Joining us here for the Monday Waffle is special guest Mark Reddings.
G'day, Julian and J-Mo. Good to speak to you. Footy's just about upon us for the Waffle, at least. It all gets underway in just a few days from now.
Hello, Mark. Look, good to speak to you, and I am indeed J-Mo. Look, I've got a quick question I've got to ask you. Apparently your nickname is it Skeet or Skeets? Is that right?
That's right, yeah. That goes back quite a few years. Long story short, Michael Thompson, when I was at Channel 9, gave me that nickname. Essentially, that's Skeeter's a guy who used to be an around-the-grounds commentator for the ABC, Skeeter Coughlin. So he used to work with guys like Drew Morford, etc., Peter Booth, and that was the nickname that Tomo gave me for one reason or another. And as you know, sometimes these things stick. Sometimes you make up your own nickname, as you've done, J-Mo, and just try and make sure it sticks. And you're trying to establish that, and good luck to you. It's just a nickname of a footy identity going back in Victoria a few years ago.
That's awesome. Let's get started. So, Mark, give me your favourites, your players to watch for this season's Waffle.
Well, I mean, the usual suspects, I suppose, come into play again. I mean, when you think of the better players for teams that have done well through the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, Subiaco, Lee Kitchen, who's been just an evergreen, always getting the job done. Subi, of course, missing the finals last year, albeit a bit of a bizarre season. South Fremantle, we know that as the premiers, they're always going to be pretty tough to beat. And they've got, you know, the big forwards up there. Mason Shaw's a guy I really like when he's up and running. At times, he hasn't quite looked as sound in front of goal as what I'd like, but he's a player, I think, to watch. Well, Chris Marston for Perth, he polled really well on the Sandover despite having an injury and missing a fair chunk of the season. So I think Chris Marston, if he gets a good year under his belt, he'll be very productive. And for East Perth, just as a case in point, Jackson Ramsey, who's now the captain of the Royals, I think he'll be a terrific addition to that leadership group, but also to possibly go and win the Sandover medal this year. He's a really good young midfielder. Gets so much of the footy for East Perth.
East Perth, do you see them as a team on the rise, Mark? Because, you know, they've been treading water a little bit in the last few seasons, but do you think they looked like they were doing better last season?
Yeah, well, when you say a team on the rise, I think they're one of about 3 or 4 sides that could well be on the cusp of the top five and thereabouts. So they could play finals, but bear in mind, last season they only missed out on playing in the finals on the last day when Perth beat South Fremantle. We know there were results that were going left, right and centre. East Perth and Subiaco were both hoping to break into that top four. But East Perth, question marks on can they back it up and produce another season where they're on the edge of the top group. I suspect they can, but yeah, there's about 5 teams out of the 9 or 10, should I say, that are really in that category of possible finalists, but not a lot of confidence in saying they're going to be there. But I don't think they'll slide. I don't think they'll rise too high, but they'll be in that group again.
Mark, you mentioned Subiaco had a bit of a fall last season. Do you reckon they can come back into finals contention? I know they did include Brandon Matera into their lineup. So do you see him rising up the table in 2021?
Absolutely. Look, I think last year was a bit of an anomaly for them. They had a lot of injuries, a shortened season. I just think a longer campaign will definitely suit Subiaco better. Bo Woodman and his team will have had a look at what went wrong last year. And let's be honest, they've been up for so long and had so many great successes that at some stage they were going to have a down. And that was last season for a number of reasons. But I think Subiaco can be certainly in the top five. And I've got them finishing probably closer to top two if things go their way.
And quickly, give me your thoughts on East Fremantle. They've included a lot of AFL players, ex-AFL players, into their lineup this year. Would that benefit them at all?
Well, it should do on paper, shouldn't it? They should have a better side. And look, I did a ladder for the West this week, and I've got them improving. So if you're talking about rises, I've got them as finishing, I think, fifth or fourth or in that bracket with East Perth, probably ahead of East Perth, just from what I've seen with their recruits. So, look, I definitely think they can improve. A bit of pressure on Bill Monaghan to get them firing after what's been, it seems like forever that the Sharks have been down the doldrums. So I expect them to improve. Those group of AFL, ex-AFL players will give them a healthy dose of experience, but also a bit of class. So I expect East Fremantle, well, certainly a lot better than last year, where I think they really struggled to hit the scoreboard. I think they can improve vastly in 2021.
Who do you see as being your Sandover medal winner?
Put it this way, who would have picked Fisher last year to win it from Swan? So there's no real conviction given what the voting produced last year. But I did mention Jackson Ramsey. I think he will be very competitive on the Sandover front. I mean, I think he's getting two votes off the lead last year. I think he'll get enough footy to be thereabouts. As I said, Chris Marston, I think if he plays a full season, will enjoy the benefits of getting plenty of touches. So those two, I think, right in the mix. But I'm going to leave it at those two. But Jai Bolton always performs, always polls. There's certainly a case for him. And as we know, midfielders generally poll the best of anyone. So I won't pin it down to one player, but I certainly think that a midfielder as normal will win it. Just a case of finding a player that can poll in a team that obviously wins enough games, but also doesn't have players pinch votes off them.
Looking at some controversial topics over the pre-season, what were your thoughts on the whole Josh Tracy incident?
Interesting, wasn't it? It sort of came out of the blue for us, just in the media, as to what the initial suspension was and what that translated to in an AFL perspective. Of course, he's available for this weekend's game against the Blues at Marvel Stadium, but the AFL has addressed that scenario, which I think is quite right. I do think he deserved a suspension, having looked at the vision on Brady Gray, that there was a swinging arm which certainly made contact and I think concussed in the end Brady. So I think the suspension was there. And I think the anomaly, which the Dockers certainly pushed to try and get corrected, I can understand their point of view with that one, because the two competitions not aligning with their schedule was almost a double whammy for Josh and the Dockers. But that's been alleviated, so I've got no issue with it.
Do you think there was any malice in his trailing arm in that incident, though, Mark? I mean, or do you think it's just a thing to do with his youth, his inexperience, perhaps?
Oh, no, I think he deserves suspension. That arm, I mean, that can be dangerous. So, yeah, I thought it was careless. It was overzealous, slightly crude. Yeah, I had no issue with him getting suspension. I thought it was worthy of that. There's only one angle which may have even saved him from further damage with regards to matches on the sidelines. But, no, I definitely think he deserves some time.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully for his sake, he does get a game up against the Blues this weekend in the AFL.
Yeah, that'd be good for him, I think.
I think he'll play for sure.
Yeah, so do I. Well, they lost, what, Fife injured, and maybe Cox had a bit of a niggle last night, so hopefully for their sake they're all right, and Josh Treacy could be a handy in.
Oh, yeah, having kicked 7 goals in a waffle practice match, which is a long way from the AFL. But,
exactly right.
He's a big body, and we saw yesterday with the likes of Lloyd Meek just being able to provide a presence around the ground that having those bigger bodies certainly gives some of those mids a bit more confidence around the ground.
Give us your crystal ball.
The meaty question.
Your 2021 Waffle Premiers prediction.
Who's it going to be?
Well, a lot of us do this. You look at what you saw last year and you think that there won't be much change. I can't see a side coming from outside the top five, for instance, and winning the flag. I just think there's too much ground to make up. I think the team that has recruited well enough, they had room for improvement. Some people are saying it was a shortened season, so they probably had a cheapened version of a premiership. And that's South Fremantle. I just think they've got themselves a list now which looks pretty good. I mean, Cody Nunez came in late last season as a small forward, the former Demon, and did a really good job. I think they've got a nice blend of youth, experience, haven't lost too much in terms of talent from the Premiership. So I think they're going to be very tough to beat. Question marks, I guess, on Claremont, how they respond to a bit of an off-season upheaval with a change of coach. That can have, obviously, two areas that can head north or south, depending on how the players react. So Ashley Prescott's a terrific bloke, so I'm sure he'll keep them rolling. But can Claremont get back there again? Quite possibly. But I'm thinking South Fremantle, with the big rise of being Subi, as my team's to beat for 2021.
Did you like the grand final being played at Fremantle Oval last year, or do you reckon it should be back into a big stadium?
So it worked really well as a one-off. I think if we get back to some normality with this footy season, it'll go back to Optus Stadium. But as we know, if a team like Subiaco gets there, the crowd numbers aren't quite there. But if you have South Fremantle and East Fremantle or Perth and Swans playing at Optus Stadium in a grand final, you're going to get your 30-plus thousand. But, yeah, it's a difficult decision, and I think the Waffle still yet to commit to which way they're going to head this year.
Awesome, Mark. Thank you so much for that. But looking at this weekend coming up, we've got some fixtures already. Got any tips for the first round? We've got Peel Thunder against East Fremantle. Of course, that's the first one off the list. Any others, though, inside that round?
Yes, I Peel, East Fremantle, that's a tough one as well, really, because the Thunder are going to be so reliant on what the players they get available from the Fremantle Dockers, who've had so many injuries. So while they've got those sorts of concerns, Fremantle, you think Peel's going to be a bit weaker. So real chance, I think, for East Fremantle to strike early down there in Mandurah. And the game we're doing for Seven on Good Friday as well, a double-header Good Friday, is Subi and East Perth. I think Subiaco will comfortably win that game. Also, Saturday footy, we've got Perth and West Coast. And I suspect even though Logan McDonald missing from the side, Perth will still be able to do enough to get over the top of the Eagles.
Yep, so after that, you've got South Fremantle versus West Perth at Fremantle.
Yeah, sure, beauty. Yeah, looking forward to that one. The Bulldogs and the Falcons. I think West Perth, so reliable, aren't they? Just, you know, Tyler Keitel in attack. You've got the likes of Shane Nelson and Aaron Black, who just continue to rack up the numbers for West Perth. So they'll be very competitive. But that match at Fremantle, always stick with the home team.
We've got Swan Districts as well versus Claremont at the Steel Blue Oval, Mark. And I've got to say at this point, go Swan Districts.
Yeah, that's fair enough, Swannies. They've had some tough times in recent. But yeah, they've got Claremont at home. So hopefully for a team that, you know, has struggled a bit in recent, they can get away to a bit of a flyer. Probably leaning towards Claremont just on you know, what we've seen in 2020. There's nothing to go on this year, but yeah, let's hope Swans and East Fremantle can bounce, and being a bit parochial, hopefully Perth can make it back-to-back finals for the first time in a long time. It's been tough for the Demons, and hopefully they do some good work this year and make the finals again for their long-suffering supporters.
I've got one more question to ask you, Mark. Have you got a favourite oval? I mean, the one that sells the best hot chips. I mean, you give me your reasons.
In terms of broadcasting or in terms of being a spectator?
Spectator, without a doubt. You know, atmosphere, I don't know, the atmosphere of the
ground. Well, look, going up barracking for Perth, I just love sitting on the banks and watching my team play there. Now, it's probably not the best facility in the competition at the moment. They're doing a redevelopment. But, yeah, I suppose it's where your heart is, I guess. If you're a Swan, you know, to be honest, I grew up for a couple of years in Bassendean and lived close to Bassendean Oval. And back in the 80s, there were Swans and Claremont, but great games with Graham Moss and the likes, you know, Ron Boucher. This is going back many years, but the crowds at Bassendean, that's always a good ground. So if I'm taking my Perth hat off, I think probably going to watch a game in the atmosphere. I'm happy to sit at Steel Blue Oval and watch a game with the fans and just the way that the players can interact with the
well
crowd.
Said.
I like
well
that.
Said
my best suburban ground.
Good man. Well done. Like
well
it.
Done. Mark, thank you very much. Hopefully for everyone's sake here in Perth, for your sake, for the Monday Waffle's sake, for all the spectators, we have a COVID non-affected year.
Thank you indeed.
Julian, JMO, always a pleasure.
It's going to get underway this Friday, the 2nd of April, with Peel Thunder playing East Fremantle at 10 past 4 at David Gray's Arena, home ground of Peel. Good Friday footy, Jules. Peel Thunder and East Fremantle, I think they've seen each other about just under 60 times. East Fremantle winning 64% of those matches. So going into it, especially with what we saw in the preseason, East Fremantle have a good chance of coming up against Peel Thunder.
Yep, and in their pre-season, Peel won the one game and lost the one, and East Fremantle won one game and lost two. Subiaco versus East Perth.
Yep, at Leaderville Oval, that's essentially a 50-50% track record for both teams. So it'll be a very good matchup.
Yep, so double Good Friday action to start the Waffle season. And in their preseason games, Subi won the one game, lost the one, and East Perth lost both their preseason games. On to Saturday, Will.
Yep, the third, we've got Perth and West Coast at Mineral Resources Park. Now, they've only played each other twice. Eagles being inaugurated in 2019, then taken last year off because of COVID. So now this will be the third time that Perth has faced West Coast, and they're 1-for-1. Perth's 1-1, and West Coast have 1-1.
Talk about 50-50.
Yeah, that's just pure 50-50. It's a clean slate for both of them. And with the ins and outs that we just mentioned before, it's going to be an interesting game.
And Will, we mentioned how we went to the West Coast Eagles versus East Fremantle Waffle preseason game on Friday night. I spoke to Hamish Brayshaw, West Coast midfielder, about what his side's focus is going into round one against Perth.
Winning, obviously. Just to bounce back. I mean, we showed good signs this game, but couldn't run it out. So we've got four quarters of footy to play next week, and it'll be a big game.
South Fremantle versus West Perth.
Yeah, bounce down is at the same time as the Swan Districts and Claremont game, which we'll talk about shortly. But South Frio and West Perth, the last time South Fremantle lost to West Perth was in a prelim back in 2018. West Perth then went on to the grand final and unfortunately lost the grand final there. So I think South Fremantle will have a lot to prove coming up this Saturday.
And in their pre-season results, South Fremantle won the two games, lost zero, and West Perth won two and lost zero as well. I spoke to West Perth on baller Aaron Black about his thoughts on their round one fixture against the reigning premiers.
Our focus is on round one against South Fremantle, and they've probably had the wood over us the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. We'd love to get one back on them, especially in the first round of the year.
Also at the same time, as you mentioned, Will, Swan Districts versus Claremont.
Yep, bounce down at 2:10. Claremont have a 62% win rate against Swan Districts, and they have not lost the last five games against Swan Districts. So the last time they lost was in a preseason game in 2018. But if you go back further still, the last time in a home and away season, round seven of the 2017 season. So Swan Districts really have a bit of a drought to clear up.
And Claremont also last year's runner-up. So they'll should be the dominant side in this game. So they should make it six in a row. And in the preseason, Will, Claremont won both of their preseason games, winning two, losing zero, and Swan Districts 1-1 and lost one.
Yeah, so it's really looking like Claremont are going to be the dominant side in this matchup. So we heard Mark Redding's tips. Jules, do we dare give our own tips?
I reckon we will. I reckon we should.
Yep.
I reckon we will. Will.
That's good. Good on you, man. So let's link back up to the start of the round. Peel Thunder versus East Frio. Who are you backing?
Peel Thunder at home. I reckon we'll get up, and they didn't finish too strong last year. They were bottom of the table side, but I reckon Peel Thunder at home. I'm picking that as a roughie to start the round one season.
I'd actually go the Sharks. I watched them play against West Coast, and they looked very strong. So I'll pick East Frio over Peel. Keep it interesting as well. Subi and East Perth at Leaderville Oval.
I'm going to tip the Lions.
Yeah, I'll go Lions as well.
Perth versus West Coast Waffle side at Mineral Resources Park.
Purely because of West Coast, had a whole year off, didn't win a game in the preseason. I'll go Perth.
South, my tip. I'll go Perth as well.
Yep.
They looked pretty poor against the Sharks in their preseason game that we watched. South Fremantle versus West Perth.
This is a hard one. Look, when in doubt, back the premiers. South Fremantle has to be.
I'm the same. South Fremantle Bulldogs will win for me.
Yep, and like I said, last time South Fremantle lost to West Perth was back in 2018. So the odds are in their favour, and rolling onto Swan Districts in Claremont, you got to back Claremont.
I'm backing Claremont. Mm. So we're all the same, Will, except I've gone for a roughie on Friday night. I reckon the Thunder will beat the Sharks up there in Mandurah.
So pretty much bragging rights at the Monday Waffle. All lies on the line. Friday, April 2nd, a Good Friday matchup. And I think that's going to be a nice seasoning to the season for us.
Hopefully I don't get bullied on the second episode of the Monday Waffle.
You 100% will. But thanks for joining us here on the Monday Waffle. It's the return of the Monday Waffle. It's going to be a great season. So join us weekly. We'll talk all things waffle.
Enjoy your first weekend of waffle.
Yeah, get down to a game if you can.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.